The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to pick on you again, David, because you're here. For those of you who don't know, my son's here home on college break. And I just thought of this earlier this morning. But there was a time when all of our kids and their cousins got together in Horicon, Wisconsin for every holiday. And there were 9 grandchildren that met at the grandparents' home with all their parents. And it was just a big group of people. And the kids, there were one every year for 3 years. They skipped a year, and then there was twins, and then there was one every year just about for the rest. Anyway, 9 grandchildren. And they were a raucous bunch, and they played. Most of the time had a good time. But there was one time, I don't know how old they were, I think they were lower elementary school, much, much lower. And David and his cousin Maddie got in an argument. And all of these kids are really good verbally. I mean, they can argue really well. But they both got really flustered with each other. And finally, Maddie said, "Well, my dad is a lawyer, and he can send you to jail." And David said, "Well, my mom's a pastor, and she can send you..." Yeah. We've had better conversations about grace since then, David and I. My point is, when we are feeling like the world is not right, and we're feeling like we're on the bottom rung of the ladder, and we're feeling like things aren't within our control, we really want to claim that we have somebody who can swoop in and kick butt on our behalf. Okay, that's kind of a universal thing. And so today we celebrate Jesus, the Lamb of God. I brought a little illustration. John, at Jesus' baptism, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Are you underwhelmed? Because when we use the term lamb, we're talking about utter helplessness. Utter innocence. Some in my family used to show lambs for 4-H. You know, they're adorable. But they're certainly not powerful. No other farm animal has ever been saved by a lamb's intervention. And yet here we have it. Jesus, the precious Lamb of God. Why? Why wouldn't God choose a different illustration? Something more powerful, something bigger, stronger, ferocious. But that's not what God chose. I suppose you can start back at the Exodus story. Long before Jesus, when the Israelites were still enslaved in Egypt, the Israelites cried out, "Let us go. Let us go worship. We want to go worship." And the Pharaoh said, "Nope. You're not going out there. You're going to run away." And you know the story, the 10 plagues. But at the moment of the Exodus, the story was, okay, you need to be ready to travel, people of God. But here's what you're going to do. You're going to take the blood of a perfect lamb, and you're going to mark your doors with that blood. It was a crude culture. I don't know that we would ever mark anything with blood, but it was still a sacrificial culture. And you know the rest of the story. All the homes that were marked with the blood of the lamb, those homes were spared. And Israel escaped to freedom. If you jump all the way forward to the book of Revelation, again, the writer John is having a vision. And there's that seventh seal. And who can open the seventh seal? Well, it's the Lion of Judah. But he gets closer. And it turns out, that's not a lion, that's a lamb. The lamb who was slain. And that's where we get our hymn of praise from. That's what we sang. This is the feast this morning. The precious Lamb of God who was slain. That is the cause of our victory over sin, death, and the devil. Not a ferocious monster. Not a cosmic smackdown of the devil. But through the Lamb that was slain. So in the season of Epiphany, Epiphany means revelation, being revealed. Not revelation like apocalypse, but being revealed. Jesus is revealed by John the Baptist, by the Holy Spirit. John says, look, the Lamb of God. It's not like any earthly power. And dear Christians, this is at the heart of our story. We are saved by the Lamb of God. What do we sing before we commune every single Sunday? Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. It is our plea. It is our confession again. Sometimes we confess our sins at the beginning of the service. But the Lamb of God is also a confession. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. We're praying to the Lamb. And in the communion, we celebrate the victory feast of the Lamb. The Lamb who was slain, the Lamb who was slain has won. And this just doesn't make any earthly sense. Paul calls it the foolishness of the cross. It doesn't make sense to the world. We want a lawyer who can throw somebody in jail. We want a mom who can condemn someone. Or dad, or whatever. But the truth is, the Lamb who was slain is also the Good Shepherd. And the Bible mixes its metaphors a little bit. And shepherd, too, is a vibrant biblical image. King David did not start out mighty King David. King David started out as a shepherd boy, least among his family. Who received the good news first at Christmas? The shepherds. They are the lowly watchers of the lowly sheep. But Jesus himself calls himself the good shepherd and sees us as his little lambs. Think about that for a minute. God knows we sin, all of us. And we take two steps forward and like, yes, I'm following Jesus now. And then we do something that hurts someone else. And we repent. And we keep trying to follow. But we are saint and sinner at the same time. We are the redeemed. And yet we keep messing up. The good shepherd, though, keeps chasing us down, seeking us out, wanting us to be in his fold, in his mercy, in his love. The choir later is going to be singing a version of one of my favorite hymns. When I was a church musician, I used to have this bond with some of the pastors that I worked with. Like, I'd pick an anthem, and the pastor would already have a sermon prepared that was based on the anthem. And one of the best ones was when we had a snowstorm once in St. Paul. And I was the choir director at St. Anthony Park Methodist Church. This Methodist Lutheran thing that keeps coming back and around. But we had a blizzard. And so I only had four choir members. And I thought, boy, we can't do what we were planning to do, so let's punt, let's do something else. And the pastor at the same time decided he wanted to change his sermon because it was a smaller crowd, and he had a different text come to mind. And it turns out that we were in our separate places, and we came together, and we were both doing the same text. It was really cool. That's how the Holy Spirit works sometimes. But this is the text for the anthem. Little lamb, who made thee? Dost thou know who made thee? Gave thee life, and bid thee feed by the stream and o'er the mead. Gave thee clothing of delight, softest clothing, woolly, bright. Gave thee such a tender voice, making all the vales rejoice. Little lamb, who made thee? Dost thou know who made thee? Little lamb, I'll tell thee. Little lamb, I'll tell thee. He is called by thy name, for he calls himself a lamb. He is meek, and he is mild. He became a little child. I a child, and thou a lamb. We are called by his name. Little lamb, God bless thee. Little lamb, God bless thee. May the peace of Christ that passes all understanding Keep your hearts and minds in the one who loves you so, and extend that love in a world that doesn't see so much of it. Little lamb, God bless thee.